From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Hesh, Hesher Dude, Hesher McHesherton, El Hesherino, and Hesher the Magnificent.
Who calls him that?
Brian McClain is Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
What's up? Good morning. Welcome to the show. We're live from Central Texas here, broadcasting live from my Central Texas carbon neutral lithium powered cobalt infused studio. It's green AF. So Greta, send me a nice tweet. Why don't you? All right. Welcome to today's News Talk, TNTRadio.live. Third hour, CC Woods and I will be looking into the media feeds per usual. Second hour, Azadeh Khatibi, Dr. Khatibi will be joining us again. And in this hour, we'll be joined by Andrew Krapischetz from RedBalloon.work. If you're not familiar with RedBalloon.work, you may have missed Andrew on previous broadcasts. It's definitely something you should know about. All right, well, I'm going to start today with an open letter to the NFL. How about that? Well, skip the editorializing and just say this to the NFL, the National Football League, right? When, not if, this cardiac arrest becomes more common in the NFL, I'm curious, what will you do? When it becomes as common as it has already become in the general public, and the spotlight comes off of you rich and famous people, and it goes to the 15% of the population who've taken this mRNA stuff on board in their human biology, the stories of damage become overwhelming at that point. And the fact that you, NFL, took government money to push the COVID response agenda and the pseudo-mandated mRNA shot that was falsely called a vaccine. As that becomes common knowledge that you took money from the government, and the NFL fan base realizes what you've done to the sport and to the people that play it, to the people who got vaxxed so they could come to your arenas and events to view it, what's going to happen? I'm curious. Maybe, you know, and NFL, maybe you, the service you provide, the entertainment you provide, might have been the last place some of these people had to escape the ghoulish nature of 21st century current events, culture, and politics. So again, I ask, what will you do, NFL? What will you do when it becomes obvious to the public that your mRNA spike protein injections that you're pushing are life-threatening to 15% of the people who have it in their bodies? What will you do when that 15% chance of suddenly dying is known to be inherent in all jabbed people? Will you risk your players' lives with that kind of mortality rate associated with mRNA technology? Will you admit that you were wrong, that you took blood money and blood advice from big pharma and government? Will you disclose these communications that led up to these decisions? Will you declare that 94% of your players can no longer safely play the sport for the rest of their lives? NFL. Will you pay the players who are no longer eligible to play? 94% of them, again, a full career payout for their early retirements and a pain and suffering fee too. Will you be retaining or, okay, so that's one option, NFL. You could go that route. And I think it's probably time to go that route. But I suppose the other option, I would ask you, will you be retaining an army of big pharma lawyers to pay off all the families of the players that die over the coming years so they won't tell the story of their famous loved one dying at the needle tip of the pandemic industrial complex? What will you tell the fans? Will you tell them that the chances of this 1 in 200 million sort of heart-stopping strike is now common? Do you think people will believe that? What will you tell the taxpayers who purchased many of your arenas that are there for the NFL? Will you repurpose them? Will you rehire 94% of the players? Wait, how would you do that? How would you do that? You go to colleges, right? That's where you recruit new players. Wait a minute. I'm going to have to write an open letter to the colleges, because now you can't even source new players from colleges, because I'm sure the vaccination rate is about the same there. So what do you do? What do you do, NFL? I'm curious. When everybody finally decides, you know what? Those so-called conspiracy theory people were right and have been right all along. What does the decision-making process look like? Where does the onus of responsibility land? Will you take responsibility for what you have done? And to the fans, man, I am really sorry that this has happened to your chosen entertainment, your chosen sport, your chosen bread and circus. No judgment whatsoever, even though I don't watch it. Asking for the world, asking for the nation, asking for the world. We want to know. So NFL, hit me up. You can email me, Brian McClain at TNTRadio.live. Don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can listen live to us anywhere, anytime. It's available to download right now. Grab it, put it on your smart cellular mobile device, and we will keep you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Focused on the facts.
It's never biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Well, polar bears are the poster boys and girls for climate change. But what is going on with the polar bears? We were told a long time ago, they're all going to die. They're all dying. All the polar bears are dying. Oh, my God. Polar bears are all dying. Well, I'm here for an update on that situation is TNT News producer and host Darren Denslow. Darren, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different story from the bombs dropping and the GMO people collapsing on football fields. And when the 4 or 5 billion people find out what's been done to them, maybe the elites will be going and hiding with the polar bears. Rising numbers of polar bears in the Canadian North require certain management measures to be taken, according to the federal department, despite past reports that the animal's extinction is drawing near. And that federal department is in Canada. However, science and wait for this, Inuit Kwajimaja Tuakangit, IQ, I think that stands for. I've been practicing to say that for a couple of hours, Brian. Are now observing high numbers of polar bears, and the management goals are more focused on maintaining or reducing numbers in communities and in sensitive areas, such as bird colonies, said the Canadian Environment Department in a report called Species at Risk in Nunavut 2021, which was updated in December 22. Inuit are concerned about the increasing numbers of encounters and property damages by polar bears. This may be due to a combination of factors, including rising population numbers in some areas and a reduction in sea ice duration and extent, the document noted. The department also said that the first polar bear harvesting restrictions were implemented in 1960, and that the animal has been an iconic species at risk on a national and international scale. And I'm going to quickly stop there, Brian. So back in the 50s, there were reported about 5,000 polar bears out in the wild. That's in the entire Arctic Circle. So that's a huge region that covers Russia, Norway, Canada, Greenland, you know, these ice, yeah, Iceland, it covers all that region. There are now estimated between 30,000 and 70,000 polar bears. That 30,000 number is the number that they can account for. However, when you get to Norway and Siberia and all those parts of the Arctic Circle, the population numbers are 100% unknown. And the 70,000 figure I am basing off my friend, he's a climate change scientist who studied and worked and researched in the Norway area. I've actually got a polar bear killing knife, because they walk around with high-powered rifles in Norway because the polar bears keep coming into the town and they're considered dangerous and a vermin. And it's nothing to do with climate change or food resources. It's just sheer numbers of them. Back to this report. The report made reference to the Nunavut polar bear co-management plan, which says that measures over the last 50 years to restore polar bear numbers in areas where they have become scarce have largely been achieved. The focus of polar bear management now shifts to maintaining or, wait for it, reducing numbers in areas where public safety is a concern and where there are detrimental effects in the ecosystem due to increased numbers of polar bears. Inuit hunter observations indicate that polar bear numbers have increased from the population lows of the 50s and 60s, where I said there was about 5,000 confirmed or known polar bears in the wild. This is confirmed by scientific studies in most Nunavut subpopulations. And then there's a bit at the end about how, it's climate change threatening the polar bear population. Greenhouse gas emissions are reducing the area in which the polar bears can inhabit. Populations increased from 5,000 to 30,000, maybe 70,000, maybe much more. And I actually did a story about a month ago with a guest on my show, Digging Deeper, a lady called Sarah Plumley. And we talked about polar bears. And that article was saying this particular area in Canada, which I'm discussing now, had a problem with the population. And now I'm reporting on an article that's not on the BBC, it's from Epoch Times, that's quoting completely different facts, Brian.
Well, I hope Al Gore is listening. I hope Greta's listening. I hope, who cares about them? Honestly, I mean, we know what those people are about. We know that they make lots of money. We know that they are pushing agendas that are paid for. There's PR companies involved. Greta's grandmother is one of the pioneers of the whole concept that we are now wrestling with as humanity, you know, after years of ground and pound, shock and awe, low blows by the media. And they've gone after the kids with this, you know. I mean, they went after us, us Gen Xers, they went after us too with this stuff. And the polar bear mm-hmm. was definitely one of the things that they did. And, they time it really well too, because, you could watch some of the, National Geographic shows and whatnot, and they would play into this too. And let's face it, when a polar bear is not sitting on, when a polar giant is not sitting on you, looking to make a meal out of you, and you've got a nice camera on it from far away, they're cute AF. I mean, come on, polar bear. I want to pet it. I want to sit on its lap. I want to pet polar bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but don't do that. Don't do that.
Probably a bad idea. There's a metal song by a band called MOD back in the day. It was called Don't Feed the Bears. And it was all about getting torn to death by a polar bear. So shout out to MOD there. Method of Destruction. But yeah, they really prey upon the youth when it comes to these sort of topics, and it sticks with them. You know, it stuck with me. I remember a lot of the metal tracks I listened to when I was, a teen and in my early 20s. They often metal is apocalyptic, metal is dark. So many songs were written, though, about coming apocalypses to do with global warming. And what's happened now, now that us Gen Xers are adults, we're to just go, global warming was what we had when we were kids. Now we have climate change. So whether it's an icy storm, a cold winter, a hurricane in Florida, it's all to do with climate change. But let's not forget, folks, the polar bears have been one of their big talking points. And what do we see? Lots and lots and lots of polar bears. They seem to be thriving rather than dying and drowning.
I know. It's a success story, a bit like 8 Billion Day that we talked upon. These are success stories. So, yeah, and you don't want lots of polar bears. You don't want lots of them. They are the largest land predator on the planet. The only thing worse than a shark attack would be a polar bear attack. I would invite some guys from Plymouth who went to the Arctic and they encountered a polar bear in their tent. But unfortunately, they're not around to talk about the tale. A very famous story in Plymouth. But there was, he had his head ripped off by a polar bear because he was camping in the Arctic and they weren't taking the right precautions. And there's that famous, you mentioned National Geographic very quickly. There's that famous picture of like a skinny polar bear with like its skin hanging off it, and it's on this tiny bit of ice floating, and they go, oh, look at this starving polar bear, and the ice is all melted. Climate change. You see what you're doing? You're bad human beings. That's why there's no polar bears. Actually, that was then corrected. Said, no, they've misappropriated that picture to scare all the young people with these cuddly, fluffy, white polar bears and saying that they're disappearing off the planet. And actually, it was a really old polar bear that was literally just waiting to die. And this is what they actually do in nature. It had no teeth nor everything. It couldn't feed itself. And so that was the end of its life. It was nothing to do with climate change. It's just like all the other stories that we got when we were younger. We're supposed to be underwater now. Whole of UK is supposed to be just a series of islands. And most of the east coast of the US is now supposed to be underwater. But it isn't. It's being bought up by people like the Obamas for their nice flat land, mansion, seafront properties. So yeah, climate change is a scam. Polar bears is part of that line.
Al Gore, you know, he told everybody California be underwater, the coastline, and then he bought 9 mansions up and down the coast. That's what these people do. That is exactly what these people do. And what do we see now? I heard Ruckus reporting the other day about all these new climate schemes and stuff like that. There's this weird company that wants to spray. I triggered Joe Bastardi talking about this on Monday. There's this company that wants to spray sulfur or something like that into the sky to bounce the rays of the sun back. Yeah. And the company that's doing it is talking about, well, wouldn't it be great if people buy into our company and then, every time they buy some, they get carbon credits, basically. So you can be, a gross polluter, but then you buy into this company, you help fund this company that sprays toxic garbage into the sky and, tries to convince people that they're helping the planet. And then they get a good carbon neutral rating because they can actually buy down their carbon credits and all that. I mean, it's sick. It is totally sick where they're headed with this, folks. And they're going to take money. They're going to make it so that you cannot be a small business and afford those kind of carbon credits. That's the plan. That's how they destroy small business. This is one facet of how they destroy small business.
Yeah, and what we eat and how we travel and all the rest of it. And you're right, it is sulfur particles or sulfur compounds. And the major constituent, the major problem for things like acid rain is actually sulfur, nitrogen, and the carbon that we pump into the atmosphere. But sulfur is the one that makes sulfuric acid. I have no idea what those compounds are that's spraying in the air, but I would suggest don't do it. You're going to cause much more problems than you can prevent.
Yeah, well, think about it this way. If you're in a closed space with, CO2, there's a certain part per million, and it's pretty dang high that you're going to be just fine with. If you're in a room full of sulfur, there's a certain part per million where you're not going to be okay, and it's a much lower part per million, so that's pretty sketchy. All right, I got my guest waiting. I'm going to have to let you go, but real quick, you live in Plymouth, right? You said climate change is fake, right? I've seen pictures of Plymouth Rock from like the 1800s or whenever they started, taking photos, and then compared them to ones these days. I don't see a difference in the height of the water on the rock.
The sea level has never. I've lived here for 44 years. I've lived here for 40 years. I walk the seafront every single day. I have literally, before I come on my show, come on with you, Brian, I do that walk for my lunch. The sea level's never changed, ever.
Okay.
No difference.
Thought so.
Later, man.
Thought so. I didn't know if I was allowed to make that claim since I'm not there, but you're there. So boom, teamwork.
Yep. All right, man.
All right, there he goes.
Have a good
Thanks,
show.
Darren. All right, excellent. There goes Darren Denslow. Be sure and check out his show, Digging Deeper with Darren Denslow, right here on TNT. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with one of the men behind redballoon.work. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to TNT.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
There's a vote in Washington, D.C., and the vote is for the Speaker of the House is the person that will run the House over the next 2 years. Now, the person has to get 218 votes. The Republicans hold a 222-vote lead, 222 to 212. So there's been a lot of consternation about whether McCarthy's the right one. I don't like the guy. As a politician, he looks like a nice guy, but I just think he's a swamp creature. You don't hear him really stand up for conservative principles, which are really loving America principles. They're for standing up for our beautiful country and our world and the people in it.
Joe Hoff on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
The FBI is orchestrating plots, riots, and massacres
in an attempt to justify the nullification of your constitutional rights.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, managing populations of bears, sometimes that's important. You don't want the polar bears or black bears coming into the town square and just having whatever they want. Okay, our guest is the founder and CEO of Red Balloon, which was founded in 2021 as the solution to the ever-growing problem of government overreach and cancel culture invading the American workspace. Rejoining me once again, if you're a regular listener, you've probably heard him before. His name is Andrew Krapischetz. Andrew, welcome back to the show. How are you today? And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I am doing amazing because I'm on the show, obviously, and nice to hear from you.
Absolutely, man. I hope you had a great holiday season, and I'm guessing that redballoon.work is all wound up and ready to kick some butt in the new year here. How's it looking over there, man?
Yeah, no, it is. It's really good. And yeah, phenomenal Christmas season, New Year's. Actually, we got a parrot, which I've never thought of myself as a parrot person, but now we have a parrot in our house. So yeah, I mean, it's anytime you get a new group of animals for your house for Christmas, it's amazing. So Red Balloon, yeah, we are fired up about 2023. When we look at the outlook for this year, we are seeing a continued tight labor market. Actually, interesting stat for you. If you look at the working age population of the U.S., so that's 16-year-old to 64-year-old. So that's what the Department of Labor says is the working age population, although I hope to work past 64 years old. But 16 to 64-year-old total number of people, not people participating in the labor market, not people who are looking for a job or whatever, total number of people is actually on the decline. And I know that sounds, you know, I know everyone's been talking about overpopulation for most of our lives. And it turns out when you have a less than 2.1 birth rate per couple for a long time, at some point that has an impact on the population. Shocker. It looks like we're going to be mathematicians someday. So June of last year, 2022 was the first month that you actually had fewer people in that demographic than the previous month. Since we've kept track of that data. So what does that mean for everybody in the labor market? It means we're going to continue to have a tight labor market, even though the Fed's going to continue to tighten things. And you see the jobs report came out yesterday. There were more jobs than everyone expected. So the stock market dropped today because they're like, oh man, the Fed's going to raise rates again. But regardless of what the Fed does, and I have very strong opinions about that, but regardless of what the Fed does, we're going to continue to have a tight labor market. So what does that mean for most job seekers, especially conservative job seekers? You are not trapped by your woke job. If you don't like your job, if your HR department is making you do things you are uncomfortable with or you feel like are violating your religious beliefs, you have an opportunity to go find another job because we are going to continue to have a tight labor market all through 2023. So that's one of many stats that we're starting to see right now that are really pushing us to believe the labor market will be tight and there will be opportunities. Red Balloon loves being part of that story. And we're adding new jobs every day from employers that actually just want to hire hardworking conservatives that, you know, back to the American dream, what we used to believe was the American dream at any rate.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, over the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 2 years, I'm just spitballing here. It's because for me, this has been an ongoing thing for over a decade. But and I was called crazy for pointing it out before we even had words like social justice warrior and woke. You know, I was like really looked down upon by a lot of people for pointing out the cultural nudging, shifting and shoving that was going on. But it has become a pretty huge talking point, this idea of the woke, this idea of what is it? You know what I mean? Like people that were sort of like, you know, just a couple years ago, that wasn't really part of their vocabulary. That wasn't something they thought about a lot. They just wanted to go to work and be professional, hopefully, and, you know, do the thing, the life, liberty, and happiness thing. Or even just the, you know, Netflix and chill thing, just enable that if that's your lifestyle, whatever, you know, ruffles of Netflix and the couch. But now this idea that the dogma of the woke, right? Like it's become pervasive fact now that there is a cult-like dogma attached to it. And it's become, now it's like politically, it's in a political battle zone. I don't want to call it politically correct, but it's mainstream now to criticize, talk about the woke agenda. So I'm assuming that is going to drive a lot of people to redballoon.work as we continue to meet on this program and we continue to talk and you do your other appearances and this kind of stuff. I'm assuming that there's going to be like a, exponential rise in your user base.
Yeah, no, and we've already seen that. I mean, you know, we're just a little bit over a year old. We've had over 1.5 million job searches by people looking for freedom in the workplace. We're pushing 2,500 businesses that have signed a pledge that they will protect the freedom, the constitutional freedoms of their employees and their future employees, up to and including medical privacy. And when you see that kind of adoption of, you know, really a brand new job board in America that quickly, it's because there is a demand for freedom today. I know you talk about that woke stuff in the workplace, and I thought, you know, there's a history behind it, where it came from, and I'm going to give you the quick snapshot on it because I think it's important for people. Anytime you want to understand what's going on right now, you probably should understand your history a little bit. So, woke ideology has been pretty entrenched. It's this Marxist ideology that's been pretty entrenched in the universities and the mainstream media for a lot of years now, right? And we all know that. And those have kind of been the lungs of this liberal agenda in America. But corporations traditionally, you know, you think of chambers of commerce and corporations, they were generally the conservatives, right? They were the capitalists. They were the people making the money. And the universities and the liberal media, they were the people who were pushing a leftist ideology. But what happened is about 2008, you had the Occupy Wall Street movement, right? And if you remember that movement, all these people who are very upset about big banks and big corporations making lots of money. And big banks and big corporations don't like to be the bad guy because that's a bad PR move. It's bad for their stock price. It's bad for their customers, for their vendors, everybody, right? Okay, so they don't want to do that. So how do you fix that problem? Well, there was two solutions they could have done, right? If you're a Nike and you are told that you are using slave labor in Asia to build your tennis shoes, you could, well, stop doing that. That's a really good idea. Or you could start to adopt woke ideology because the people with the biggest microphone in our society, especially back in 2008, those people were the liberal media. And the liberal media, as long as Nike decried the sins of slavery in America hundreds of years ago, they could, with immunity, use effectively slave labor in Asia to build your $150 tennis shoes that they sell to inner city black kids, right? And so they could do all the bad things they wanted as long as they said the right things. And then came along this thing called ESG, environmental social governance. And it was a framework that they were able to use to say, look, I am saying the right things. I am doing a small amount of penance and virtue signaling towards the left agenda. And its environmental social governance was a way for them to measure how awesome they were for the left, no matter what they actually did, right? So this is just this rhetoric that they would use to be able to make as much profit as they want and never have an Occupy Wall Street movement again. So this woke ideology has been entrenched in the universities and the liberal media for a long time, but in the workplace, it's a fairly new entrant. It's a new conquest for the left. And that's part of the reason RedBalloon.work, I feel like we are gaining traction at significant speeds. And it's so important what we're doing, because if you read Sun Tzu's book, The Art of War, he talks about you need to find locations or targets that are both feasible and strategic, right? If you want to say, hey, we're going to go take New York City for conservatives, that is strategic, but it's not feasible. And if you, you know, say, hey, little Beauville here in in Idaho with 150 people in it, we're going to make that a conservative town. We're going to take back the city council. That's probably strategic, but not very, or it's very, very feasible, but not very strategic, right? And so when I looked at the culture war that I believe we're in right now, and I believe conservatives need to get better at actually doing stuff and not just, you know, sitting and worrying about things, but go out and do stuff. So, okay, what is strategic and what is feasible? And I think that the corporate workplace today is both of those things, because you still have a lot of capitalists there who do want to make money. They are not nearly as entrenched as they are in the university and the media space, because they haven't been there as long. And it has a huge cultural impact if you can give people freedom at work, because if politics are downstream from culture, and our culture is kind of a mess right now, I would say that the fountainhead of good culture should be the church and the family. But vocation is a really important part of who someone is. It's what you spend most of your waking hours doing. And so if we can bring freedom to the workplace, if we can redeem the world of work, then we can have a disproportionate impact on culture. And that's why we are doing redballoon.work. Probably more information than you wanted to know. But anyway, there's some of the theory and the background, because we should know our history. And if we know our history, then we can move more quickly and more clearly in the future.
Exactly. And this is such an assault on our culture that's coming through the workplace, you know. So redballoon.work, everybody, you're going to want to bookmark that. If you're not looking for work, I'm guessing you know someone who is, or you will know someone who is very soon. A lot of people moving around, a lot of things shifting, a lot of people moving states. They can't even keep U-Hauls in California because people are leaving so quickly. So are they all remote workers? I doubt it. I bet a lot of them will be looking for not only a new state, but a new job or a new career. Let me take a quick headline here, Andrew, and we'll pick up right where we left off on the other side of the headline.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Newsflash!
Now, without further ado.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The head of the World Health Organization says that the agency is concerned about the risk to life in China amid the coronavirus's explosive spread across the country and the lack of outbreak data from Chinese officials. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida pledged to deepen his country's alliance with the United States under Japan's new defense policy that breaks from its exclusive self-defense-only stance in the face of growing regional tension. Tens of thousands of Catholics descended on St. Peter's Square for the funeral of former Pope Benedict.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
It's time to take back the workplace, folks. And I know that's easier said than done, but if it's, and you know, you got to fight for those within your workplace. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done within the workplace to sort of express to your employer and your coworkers that this is not the right trajectory. This whole living underneath the ESG framework, all these woke concepts, all the training courses they put you through that are about identity politics rather than things that are actually associated with your job. This stuff all has to go, and redballoon.work is going to be your portal, your place. You know, they've got all these long-standing places that people go to look for work and analyze jobs. You've got places like, you know, LinkedIn, which is just harvesting your data, probably even being used to honey trap you. I wouldn't be surprised if there are, how many feds did we have inside of Twitter? We don't really know, upwards of 70 some. I would guess the story is the same at LinkedIn. All of the big giant social media behemoths seem to be completely staffed with intelligence agents. What the hell is that all about? That's a whole nother story. It's really important to know out there and to make sure that your people know that they're not stuck inside of the ESG framework and the woke ideologies that are, you know, rife in places like LinkedIn. Glassdoor is used a lot. That one, I don't know. What do you think about that one, man? That one's like people use that to sort of like get a view into like what the company culture is like. Is that one useful, or is there a whole woke layer to Glassdoor also?
Yeah, unfortunately, Glassdoor is owned by people who are pushing this woke worldview. There's no way around that. Now, I would say LinkedIn, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, Glassdoor, there are options out there, and you should be aware of those. But just, you know, if you're an employer today and you're hiring off those platforms, there's a very good chance that you're going to get, as one employer called it, a woke tard into your organization. And that's someone who is so focused on their ideology, they're not going to do their work, right? And I think that's where we want to get back to, is that American dream of like, what if we actually just do our job? What if we show up every day? What if we don't be a snowflake whining in the HR department every day about every little thing, about someone didn't pronoun me correctly, or someone didn't, you know, give me the respect that I needed as a, you know, whatever minority I am. That's not what you want in the workplace, right? If you look at the data right now, the Department of Labor and others are showing that worker productivity in America has been on a decline for many years in a row now. Now, worker productivity is not how many people are working. It's how much stuff is being created by the average worker in America. And that has been on decline. This is well documented, that productivity of the American workforce per worker on average is on the decline in America. Why is that? Well, if you spend all your time in DEI training, do you know how much corporations last year spent on DEI training in America? They spent $8 billion. That's $8 billion of direct costs on DEI. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion training. They spent $8 billion of direct cost on that. And that does not count the demoralization that that training is producing in the American workforce. When you're told you're a racist, no matter what you've done or who you are or anything about you, you're a racist. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, that actually just doesn't give you a great day. I'll just tell you that right now. And so, you know, and I'm hearing stories. One guy said his CEO got up and said, just so you know, every one of you is a racist. It's just a scale of 1 to 10, whether you're a how racist you are, but everyone is a racist. But when you have that kind of ideology being pushed on you in the workplace, do you think you're more productive after that? Answer, no, right? And so, but you see things like that. You see things like, hey, we can't make jokes anymore in the workplace, right? You're not allowed to make a joke because you don't know who it's going to offend. And so you spend your time walking on eggshells around the workplace, watching your back constantly so nobody sticks a knife in it. And lo and behold, you're not as productive. Shocker. And so what we're finding is that these companies that are hiring off redballoon.work, they're hiring the kind of workers who want to just show up and do awesome work. And if you want to be that kind of person, this is the place for you to find companies that will allow you the freedom to just work. And we have, you know, you mentioned LinkedIn is using your data. They absolutely are. Once you put your data on there, they are scraping it. They are selling it. You are, if something is free, you are the product. I want you to remember that. So what redballoon.work is doing is we have what we call a self-sovereign worker profile. So if you want to be available for a conservative job, you can fill out your profile on redballoon.work as a job seeker, and then you don't have to publish it. And if you don't publish it, people can't just go in there and look at it. And so, but the redballoon.work staff can, and they, when we have companies that come in and say, hey, we're looking for an awesome software developer or secretary or accountant, we can say, you know what, we're going to introduce you to this person because this person is on RedBalloon because they care about freedom. And all of a sudden, you're now in a position where maybe you're not looking for a job today, but you're what we call a passive job seeker, right? Because if the right job comes along with a company that will respect your freedom, man, you should jump on that. Because I'm hearing stories from job seekers all the time where they're like, you know, I had no idea how much it impacted every aspect of my life when my job was beating me down with, you know, CRT training and DEI training and all the alphabet soup of craziness. When that is tearing you down, it's going to impact every aspect of your life. But if you are at a company that respects your freedom, you're going to thrive in a way that you actually don't even realize is possible. And we've heard that story over and over and over again. It's been really gratifying to run a company where we're helping people find freedom. And so whether you're looking for a job today, whether you know someone who needs a job today or not, you can fill out that job seeker profile. And lo and behold, you might get freedom. And you didn't even have to work that hard for it. Kind of a bonus. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to stand up for the American worker, for the American company, get back to what made this country great in the first place.
So you guys are not selling, scraping, honeypotting, any of that with your users' data, but you are monitoring it in a way where you can connect them with opportunities that may arise. If you find a good fit for them, they get notified. It's not sent off to, you know, various alphabet agencies or in all these databases that weirdos or, you know, weirdo government officials are looking in via, you know, Palantir or whatever expensive corporate software they have, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. And we've worked really hard to make sure that our servers are secure and sitting with people who we trust, not AWS, not Google, not Microsoft, not Azure Cloud. We're on servers of patriots who say, you know what, we are going to respect people's freedom, respect people's data. And when we do that, it is really should give you a sense of peace to know that there's people in the fight out there that are looking for things. You know, I was on an earlier interview this morning, and just, you know, my encouragement to conservatives is it is really easy to just sit on your couch, wring your hands and be like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, you see what's going on for the new Speaker of the House or what the Biden administration's doing, and you feel kind of helpless, right? Because those are, you know, big people in DC doing things that you feel like are totally out of your control, and you only get to vote twice a year or every other year generally, right? So you really can't have that much of an impact. But my response is you absolutely can have an impact. You can have an impact today. If we as conservatives, which are the largest ideological group in the country, will do something different today, right? Inertia is very powerful with conservatives. We like to just continue to do what we have done before. We don't like to move. But as you mentioned, you know, the big sorts happening all over the country. People are leaving California. There's no U-Haul trucks there anymore. So conservatives are starting to do something. We're starting to wake up and act. Well, my encouragement today, do one thing. Go, instead of going to Starbucks, go to publicsquare.com and find a coffee shop that doesn't hate your worldview, right? Oh, okay, cool. And that's just one thing that you did today. Well, if 5 million people do that, Starbucks is either going to have to start laying people off or they're going to change their worldview, right? They're going to realize I can't just push conservatives around. I can't just push this woke ideology on people and have no consequences. So do one thing today. Tell someone about redballoon.org. Support TNT Radio. Right. When we have news outlets like this that allow us to hear the truth without the censorship that comes through the CNNs and the other lie, false news outlets, then we are more free people. And so do one thing today that supports a conservative business, supports a conservative media outlet, supports a conservative job board. And if all of us just do one thing today and then do it again tomorrow and then start to change our habits away from the Chase banks, away from Starbucks, away from Google, then soon we will have a free country. So there is something you should do. You should feel empowered. Don't feel you're trapped by what's going on in DC because you have a lot of control, but you have to do something about it.
Yeah, that's very well said. Most of our opportunities at this point are at the grassroots level, at the ground level.
That's right.
The personal level, the family level. You know, that's really where we're at. We've been pushed into that corner. But I tell you what, it's a lot of us. It's a big corner, and we can build something new out of that corner, something that will grow into something that will push the woke-tards, as your client said, into their own corner where they belong. We don't need this snowflake stuff in the workplace. All right, I got to take a quick station break here, Andrew. We will be right back. You're listening to Today's News Talk.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
How's this for a start to 2023? The Democratic mayor of ultra-liberal Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, vetoed an overhaul of the city's criminal code, which was unanimously approved by the city council last November. According to the mayor, the 450-page bill sends the wrong message. So what's in the bill? According to the Examiner, the legislation sought to clarify and redefine penalties for criminal offenses, with several lawmakers arguing that severe punishments do not deter crime rates. This included provisions that would eliminate most mandatory minimum sentences, establish jury trials for nearly all misdemeanor cases, which would tie up the courts, and reduce the maximum penalties for crimes such as carjackings and robberies. Now, in 2022, homicides in D.C. fell by 10% from the previous year, but killings of teenagers doubled. This bill has been in the works for 16 years, and you could be sure that the city council will override this veto, making the mayor's actions nothing more than symbolic. Although, I must say, it was a damn good symbolism. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The 9/11 terrorist attacks shocked the world and led to the so-called War on Terror. But there's another side to 9/11, which the mainstream media won't cover. For several years, more than 3,000 qualified professionals at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth have demanded a proper investigation into 9/11. A genuine investigation into 9/11 would consider evidence that the World Trade Center towers were rigged for controlled demolitions. This includes the third building that collapsed on that fateful day, Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper, which dropped in under 7 seconds, yet no plane crashed into it. This is particularly troubling, as Building 7 was probably one of the most secure buildings in the USA, with the US Secret Service, Department of Defense, and CIA among its tenants. Who would have access to rig a controlled demolition? TNT Radio will cover this story to find the actual perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks.
The left want to control what people say and think. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
All right. If you're just joining us, our guest is the founder and CEO of Red Balloon, which you can find at redballoon.work on the internet. We've got a tight labor market coming into 2023. All the tea leaves seem to point towards that. And it is a great time to sign up over there at redballoon.work if you haven't yet, especially if you're an employer. Employers, oh my gosh, dealing with some pretty crazy stuff. We clicked into a show on Netflix the other night called Snowflake Mountain just to see what it was. And it was all about a bunch of 20-somethings who were just, you know, completely the woke crowd, the SJW crowd, the me first in the gimme crowd. And they put them on a mountaintop and made them do silly challenges, you know, like go camping stuff that we used to do for fun, just to watch them melt down. And I started thinking, well, this is a great job for a snowflake. They can be on a show called Snowflake Mountain, where we all make fun of them and their proclivities and their downfalls. And to be fair, applaud them when they improve. But you take any of those people from that show and you put them, unfortunately, you go to your local, Silicon Valley IT campus. That should have been a sign right there when IT turned into campuses instead of workplaces and started installing slides and, beer kegs or whatever. That much better in that environment. So for you employers out there, definitely want to avoid the snowflakes. That could be the death knell to your HR department or maybe even your whole business and some of your legacy employees that have a lot of that corporate value, experience value will leave. I'm sure that's happening as places decline into ESG and wokedom. Andrew, what do you think about the whole, you mentioned the Fed expanding interest rates, and you also mentioned ESG. So I'm curious your thoughts to expand a little bit on the Fed and interest rates. And then I'm also curious as a follow-up, does a company have to do ESG? Like, are the employers at Red Balloon, are any of them, do they feel compelled to be involved in this? Do they feel like there's a glass ceiling they hit if they're don't involved in it? Or is there a way around it? Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack there. And just full disclosure, I'm not an economist, but I do play one on TV. So I do have a lot of opinions. And actually, the company that I ran a year and a half ago, where I was let go for being too conservative and Christian as the CEO, was a labor market data company. So I've been mucking around in this data for a long time. So let me give you a quick primer on how the Fed actually works. So what they're doing right now is they're raising interest rates, right? Well, what does that do? Well, that decreases the money supply. It says there's not, money is more expensive to get access to because they've raised those interest rates. So if you're going to build a house, or if you're a developer and you're going to build a big housing development, which I happen to be a developer as well, and I have a large housing development, it is harder to get access to money and the money is more expensive. So that will throttle the number of projects that are going on, right? So, but that is the demand side. So you need to understand there's a demand side and there's a supply side. The Fed only has control over the demand side. They can say how much demand for services and money, because if it's harder to get money, there will be fewer projects, which means there will be the velocity of money will go down. There will be fewer jobs that are created by that. That is why the Fed seems to be obsessed with the job number all the time, because they're trying to affect that. But they should not be obsessed with the job number, because I'm one of those nerds that actually watches the Fed press release because I find it very fascinating. And someone asked a question about the supply side. And they're like, oh no, we can only control the demand side. Now, what that means is the supply side is the innovation that happens that actually produces the goods and services, how much goods and services are out there. So the Fed can control the money supply all they want, and it will not impact the labor market. And fuel prices will just continue to go up because the fuel prices are actually controlled more on the supply side, not on the demand side, meaning, if the government, who has really bad ideas about environmental policies, says it's really hard for you to extract energy, then it will be more expensive to get gas no matter what the Fed does. So they're trying to control inflation, but the price of goods and services is based on supply and demand, and the Fed can only control the demand side, not the supply side. So again, I'm going to try and not nerd out too much, but the reality is that they're going to continue to try and wreck the economy by raising interest rates. But the two most expensive inputs to any economy are labor and energy. And if we have a tight labor market because we don't have enough people to get all the work done, and the Biden administration continues to say that it's a bad idea to generate energy, right, with oil policies and natural gas policies, pipeline policies, then we will continue to have high prices, but the Fed will manage to make it so that the economy goes into a recession. And so I think that they are looking at this all the wrong way, because they should not be looking at the labor market, because the labor market will continue to be tight no matter what they do with interest rates. That's the moment we're in. Now, this whole ESG thing is into the Fed, right? They're looking at these things, and these companies are saying, you know what? We have to try and make everyone happy with our ESG score. And the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones, they all have an ESG score for all of these companies. How good are you at virtue signaling to the woke mob? How good are you at doing inefficient things in the name of saving the environment? How good are you at putting minorities who maybe don't even have the same skill set on a board? That's basically what the ESG scores are. Now, it is entirely voluntary right now. So companies on redballoon.org, I guarantee that none of them are even caring about ESG scores, which is fantastic. But it is voluntary, but there is a lot of social pressure for publicly traded companies to have a strong ESG score. And I won't go too far afield here, but the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, actually supports ESG scores in the US, but not in China. Well, why would that be? Because ESG is bad for business. It's bad for the economy. And they are using it as a tool to push on these things. There's a lot of money, a lot of CCP money pushing on ESG in the US, but not in China today. So it is a tool that's being used by the left to try and demoralize and debilitate the U.S. economy. And why are they doing that? Well, because they want control, because people who don't have their own resources, who don't have freedom, need to look to a government or need to look to, you know, BlackRock or any of these big companies to for control because they need help. And so all of these organizations are trying to use these things to make our economy worse so that you need them more, because then you'll just do what they say.
Right. And then you're in the govern me harder, daddy area. Just please exactly. Govern me harder. This is all great. Love the ESG. Love the governing me so hard. Love the insane taxes. That's just all wonderful. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. So if, when Red Balloon overtakes all the established ones out there, maybe ESG will just disappear, because everybody's going to have better employees, better workplaces, happier employees, and they will thrive in business. Maybe that's how we fix this. Maybe Red Balloon is the answer. Andrew, over to you. You got about 20 seconds, man. Tell everybody where to find you.
Yeah, redballoon.work is where you can find a ton of resources on there. There's an employee bill of rights. There's a blog with articles every single day showing what's actually happening in the news. Obviously, you can come to TNT. You can follow us on all the social media platforms, both the woke ones and the non-woke ones, at redballoonwork.